Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
Good luck, boy. Let's get it done.
Brady getting himself going, he had a habit of grabbing guys and headbutting. He was so wound up.
Willie looked at like, what the hell is going on here? Willie grabbed me, and he was like, calm down, bro.
I had to grab this kid. Calm down. You're going to knock yourself out before we get to the game. We believe in you. Be patient. Relax.
Like, again, Willie was right there to be kind of the policeman of everything going on.
That's it. Willie McGinnis, The Football Life, which will make its premiere tomorrow night on NFL Network at 8 p.m. Excited about that one?
I am.
Willie's going to be joining us in a moment to talk about it, because that was just one of, I'm sure, a bunch of stories that are in this hour-long production. If you've ever watched A Football Life, they're pretty well done.
They really are. They really are done well. And you look at some of them, and you remember when Revis had it when he was still playing, and there's other guys that have had it, and that's one of the first things I'm going to ask you, too. Like, you work for NFL Network. You're sitting there. You're doing all this stuff. You're promoting all these. Like, where the hell's yours, you know? Man, this dude won Super Bowls, man. He was the first pick of the craft era. And just a great captain, just a great guy, like Brady said right there, just running everything. The guy ran the whole damn locker room from the day he got here. Took over for Tippett. It was great. Guy was great.
Is he on the line, Tom? Okay,
right.
Very good. Let's welcome in Willie McGinnis of NFL Network, of course, as O just mentioned. And an analyst every day for NFL Network, but also now getting his own Football Life that'll premiere tomorrow night. What's up, Willie? How are you?
I'm just chilling, man, waiting on this game so I can head to the stadium, watch a little football, talk about it, you know, have some fun.
Hey, congratulations on Football Life. I know you've been working with the network for a while now, Willie. You sit there, and sometimes I scratch my heads with some of the ones they roll out because maybe they're not as accomplished as you are. Like, how long was this in the works? And I saw you this summer when Al Groh was back, too. Al Groh's going to be in this, isn't he?
Yes, he is, man. And he's one of the guys or coaches I put on the list. I thought it was definitely fitting. You know, my defensive coordinator in my first year kind of taught me a lot. He used to wake me up in meetings, hit me upside the head, and, you know, gave me some good lessons and taught me a lot, man, and who's still really passionate, you know, about the sport. And it's, you know, I don't know how long it was in the making for them, but for us to shoot this thing, man, it took several months. I mean, it's a big time production. I'm a fan of the show, and I just didn't know how much went into it. And it's been a lot of information and memories gathered and collected, and have not seen it yet. I'll see it for the first time when it airs, so I'm excited for that.
Did you do that on purpose?
No.
They try to
premiere it. Yeah, they want you to premiere and watch it like you're going to a movie premiere. And
that's awesome.
Some of the executives and producers have seen it, and they kind of go around and give me little snippets and, you know, kind of tease me. So I'm excited and anxious, just like everybody else, to watch it tomorrow.
You know, the clip we just heard, the promo clip that we played, is Tom Brady and you talking about Super Bowl 36 in the tunnel with Tom Brady, having to calm him down, which just seems so different from what Tom Brady is now. Now Tom Brady would be the guy that would tell someone else to calm down, you know, sort of keep his head and keep cool. Back then, though, he was a little bit more wild.
Well, I would say exciting. I think the passion is still there. He's just bottled up a little bit more, and he learns to conserve, and he's not headbutting people so he don't knock himself out. You know, he knocked himself out. You know, hey, what... before the biggest game of his life, that's not good for us. So, yeah, he's learned how to bottle that energy and that passion, but it's still in him, still motivated. And it is, times have changed, man. I think he's in his 19th season, and he's definitely the guy that has the road map and the blueprint to what it needs to take for guys to prepare, get ready, even, you know, guys maybe doing a little too much before a game or getting overly excited before we even play it down. So he's that guy, man.
How much impact are we going to see from USC in this documentary, so to speak? I mean, how important were your years at USC getting you ready for the next level? You played
with John Robinson. Well, they were super important. Yeah, they were super important. You know, Coach Smith and John Robinson I had in my last year. You know, that was kind of the foundation outside of high school. That was like the foundation and the actual point in my life where I realized that I was going to play in the National Football League. I think it was my junior year. After my junior year, I was like, man, I got an opportunity to actually play in the league. And some of the people I met playing at the institution, getting a great education, the relationships I formed while I was there, and just taking that next step and learning, you know, how to be a pro. John Robinson, my last year, you know, he had coached with the Rams and he had coached in the NFL. He started to teach us how to practice like pros and how to prepare ourselves and how to conduct ourselves for that next level. So I owe a lot to him. I owe a lot to the university, of course, for giving me the opportunity and the great football platform and education. And, you know, once a Trojan, always a Trojan. So I'm excited. And there's definitely a piece in the football life showing that.
You're also one of the guys that played for the last three head coaches here in New England.
Yeah.
Played for Parcells, played for Pete, and played for Bill, which I don't know how many of those guys there are, but you're one of the select few that did by the end.
Yeah, I actually did, man, and I'm excited about that piece too. All those coaches will be in the piece as well. I made sure of it, or some aspect of it, some more than others. But you know, that's part of me, you know, being born into the league by Parcells and being drafted, and you know, him taking me kind of as an infant and showing me the tools. And giving me an opportunity and bringing me in. And then Pete Carroll kind of getting me during my adolescent years, you know, and having me for a few years and seeing that coaching style and going through that. And then, of course, Bill being the master and the legend that he is, taking me from that to manhood and taking my game and this team and organization to a whole nother stratosphere. So, NFL Films, and they did a great job of infusing and piecing all this together, man. This thing could have been at least 3 to 4 hours, at least. And to put it all in the hour, man, they do a phenomenal job.
We got Chris Slade in it at all?
Yeah, he was definitely on my list, man. I'm sure they interviewed him and talked to him. He better be in there.
So you give them the list, and you just don't even know if they hit 75% of the list.
Right. Well, I get,
right.
I know they pretty much do all the work, but they do want to have people in contact. I don't know. I gave them a bunch, man, of people who was influential and people who, you know, who I thought they should talk to. And they have requests as well, but they do a lot of the grunt work, man. They're phenomenal.
So were you a were you a witness to when Chris Slade put the lighter fluid on the gas grill?
I was there.
Yeah, I wasn't there, man, but I know what happened. That was crazy.
I'd
be like, Chris,
lawyer,
Chris, what were you thinking? What were you thinking, Chris? I don't know, man. I was trying to light the fire in the gas grill. And, crazy, man, crazy. Chris is the reason why I moved to Marina Bay, why I was over there, because when I met him and hung out with him, he took me under his wing. I'm like, man, this is nice. This kind of reminds me of home a little bit. We got Marina Del Rey, and Chris lived in Marina Bay.
Listen,
so I was like,
listen, born and raised
the
in
same
Quincy,
thing.
I'll tell you that Marina Bay is not Marina Del Rey. Let's not go to
Marina Del Rey's got the best diner.
Okay,
I mean, Marina Bay is nice,
version.
But it ain't that nice.
It's not, but it's a crack version. You got the boats and the water and the restaurants, and you can see the city. Come on, man, help me out.
Hey,
Marina
I appreciate
Del Rey. But it's a crack version of it, and it was nice. So I was like, hey, man, if it's good enough for Chris Slade, it's good enough for me.
What's it called? That's where the first rounders lived, the first and second rounders down there. You could tell that was the money version downtown. We were all stuck in the – hey, Will, you come back around here now. I mean, like, there's apartments, there's condos everywhere. You didn't have that around the stadium when we were drafted here. None of this stuff. Did we lose them?
No, everything's changed, man. This whole organization, this whole Patriot place, what Mr. Kraft and Jonathan and the family has done, the vision that he's had since we were in the old Foxborough Stadium. And so, you know, you played in that stadium and you saw what was around here, the horse track and different things of that nature. What it is now is just an example of the being a creator and having a vision. And also what Mr. Kraft has done for the National Football League and advancing that in a lot of different ways. It's special, man. These guys are lucky. They have every resource possible to win football games and be prepared to win football games and on the biggest platform. And extremely lucky. We got a small bit of it, but what it is now compared to what it was, man, wow. You know, what a difference a decade makes, right?
Yeah. I mean, who's the one person that has helped you make this transition? I've talked to you about this, the great job you do on TV now, breaking it down. But is it carryover from football that was instilled in you, whether it was at college, whether it was Bill here? Who's helped you make that transition to TV and do it so well?
Or is it just a lot of different people. I would say my football knowledge from my coaches and being a student of the game and studying and understanding that. Also, the NFL Network is huge, giving me an opportunity and a platform and believing in me. I didn't go to broadcast boot camp. I didn't do all those courses and classes. They just gave me a lot of reps, man, and they saw something in me and gave me a platform and the opportunity. They've worked with me, and I'm a work in progress. I'm still learning, still growing every single day, and I'm just thankful for that. And colleagues, you know, I watch a lot of people. I listen to you, Zo. I watch everybody, and I just learn and I absorb and I ask for criticism and pointers and all those different things from just trying to be a student and continuously learn and get better.
All right, Willie. Well, congratulations on A Football Life that will premiere tomorrow night, 8 p.m. on NFL Network. We're all looking forward to it. And, you know, keep on keeping on, man.
Yeah, we'll see you tonight, man.
All right, guys. See you guys later, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Congratulations.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand.
All-timer there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, he's like one of the few guys that still looks like he can play. You know what I mean? It's just still cut, still works out. It's some of these guys, you just fade off and see all the linemen that come back last week when Matt Lake gets inducted. And not that you let yourself go, but you drop 40, 50 pounds, you know. Willie still looks 6'6", you know, 260, and just ripped. He'd probably give you that 12 snaps. Wouldn't be too bad.
Opposite like five good ones.
Van Noy. Him and Van Noy on the same five, side. Just
five
one
snaps.
Time. Yeah.
For old times.
Watch a tackle crap his pants. That'd be great.
He's a scary guy.
He's a scary dude. Oh, man, the fear. That dude ran a locker room. I was afraid of him.
Yeah,
we're buddies.
Are you still afraid of him?
Hell yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. All right, Willie McGinnis, The Football Life, coming up tomorrow. We got a couple of more segments of your calls before we get to today's takeaways, and we've talked about a lot today. Baseball, playoffs, Red Sox, Yankees will start tomorrow night. Bruins last night, the fight that Marchand started with Lars Eller, that's on the table, and, of course, everything for tonight's game. Mm. All right, we'll get back to your calls and today's takeaways at 1:50.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Now here's the 0-2. Caught on a miss. So Canna strikes out and they're two away. And the chant, if you're wondering what was that chant, very simple. We want Boston. Well, they're going to get them with one more out.
Why the other fans were stupid? Yeah, of course you want Boston. We want to go home. Like, what are you doing?
I just like this.
Even John Sterling.
Sounds great.
Well, you're going to get them. One out to go. Yep. That is what you wanted going into the night. You did want to have Boston, you know? That's who you were looking for.
Bring on Boston would have made more sense.
Bring them.
Yeah, something like that.
Or some sort of Red Sox suck
like
chant.
Like, we want Boston? Well, yeah, I would hope so. I'd hope that's what you want.
Celtics fans in the 80s weren't chanting, "We want L.A." They were chanting, "Beat L.A."
Right.
They weren't going on, and they were doing something that was creative. Right.
That's what you do when you're the underdog. You chant that. Like, ha ha, we're there. We're in the big game now.
So this is interesting. We want them. And you bring up a good point with this. You are going into this as a favorite and not an underdog. And that's new for this series.
It's flipped.
It is.
Yep.
I mean, you were the underdog in 99 for sure. You were the underdog in 03. You were the perceived underdog in 04.
Yep.
I mean, the Red Sox have always been the underdog team in this matchup, and now that's a little different. They're not the underdog in this one.
The Death Star has been blown up, and now all of a sudden there's a resurgence with the evil empire, and they're trying to get back at the good. And Luke Skywalker, you're Luke Skywalker now.
No. The expectations for the Red Sox are to win this series.
Yeah.
That has been a fair expectation about this team. You've got to get out of the first round.
You better. And if you get your ass swept, it'll just go to prove you that regular season baseball means nothing to you. Really. You can win as many games as you can. You can sell your T-shirts. You can print them up. But if you can't get out of this first round, you can't get past this team based on the type of year you had.
Yep.
That shows you what a fraudulent 108-win team it is.
But on the other hand, you win. There's some validation in winning.
Absolutely.
Right?
You
have a great opportunity to validate what you did in the regular season.
I don't think it's a failure if you don't get to the World Series.
And again, I'm not picking the series. I have no idea how the hell this thing is going to go. We had a caller earlier who made the point. It was Mark in Medford who said, don't you think that game one could be a huge shift in the series? Which you don't often think. You think, oh, it's one game. Yeah. You know, the other team comes back and wins, and you're tied up after two. True, but I think that Sale being such a question mark in this game, that if the Red Sox are to take game one, that's a huge, huge advantage for them.
Yeah.
And vice versa is true for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Winner of game one has a huge advantage going forward in this thing.
That's why I have them in four. But I think they get game one. I think Price beats them in game two. I think Price pitches his ass off in game two. Like, you're going to come out of this film pretty good about David Price.
And that's coming from you.
Yeah.
And you openly root against David Price. By the way,
I'm not rooting against David Price. I won't root against him in the playoffs.
I don't know. Are you rooting for the Yankees in this series?
I don't care who wins the series. Really don't.
You're on the Yankees. Yeah. You've established yourself as a Yankees fan. You're on the Yankees.
You're a Yankees fan.
I'll take point.
You're invested in the Yankees.
I want the new Nick Swisher to do well in this series.
He's afraid to say that he wants to root for the Yankees because he's afraid.
I want that meathead with the gold chains.
People aren't going to like him for it.
He's been rooting for him all year. Flipper
flopper?
Flippy floppy?
Let's just say you're rooting for him.
Yeah, ever since I got Stan, I'm rooting for him.
All right, then.
It's a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
It's a big deal when you said I have no interest in it.
It's not going to affect me. I'm not going to like sit here and go.
He's not emotionally.
I'm not going to go catatonic next week.
He's not emotionally invested.
If someone doesn't advance or not,
you're going to be so upset when we rub it in your face next week. You're going to be upset.
Okay, so then I could parade around if.
You're not going to?
No, I won't. I wouldn't do that.
You guys are invested.
Zoe likes the Yankee mystique, and I get it. Like that's a.
I like that power.
You didn't grow up a Red Sox fan. It's not like you're cheating on your hometown team or anything.
Yep. Love Mo Vaughn. Love Roger Clemens.
Sure. Yep. But those are individuals. Yeah. Those aren't teams.
Right.
They do have McCutcheon, former Pirate.
I love Manny. Love the Ortiz. Yeah, McCutcheon. Mm. Quick.
Let's get to John Sterling's final call last night. Let's hear this. What did he have for us?
Now, here's Chapman's 1-2. Hit on the ground at first. Grabbed by Walker. Flips to Chapman in time. Ball game over. Wild card game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. For the second year in a row, they capture the wild card game. They earn the right to play Boston in the American League Division Series that begins Friday evening in Boston. Let's raise a glass with Stoli Vodka and toast the Yankees on this win. Celebrate every Yankees win with Stoli Vodka. Whatever drives you, make it loud and clear.
That's a great ad.
Yes.
How much did they pay for that?
I don't know, but it's phenomenal to be tagged on the end of the
Do they do it at the end of every win?
They must.
It sounds like it.
How much? But Hardy, what do you think that cost them?
I don't know, but I like the imagery of,
Pour yourself a nice tall glass of vodka.
I could see 4 to 6 ounces
minimum.
Pouring him a martini right there. Would you like this dirty, John?
Oh, that's terrific.
Oh, there's no doubt he had a glass ready to go.
That's a good call, too.
It's like the line in Moonstruck, though. Bring me a big glass of vodka. That's not something that you hear ordered all that often. Yeah, we're 6 going. Servings in one glass, please. Wow, bring it on and celebrate the Yankees win.
Whatever drives you, make it loud and clear.
I love that. Clear. What a great ad. Oh, that's fabulous. John Sterling.
Is that Stoli? Yeah,
he could sell me anything. I want to go buy Stoli now.
Yeah.
Wow. Hear me now loud and clear. Vodka is clear, and it makes you speak loudly. That's why I say the Yankees win.
Let's raise a glass with Stoli Vodka.
I was wondering what else.
It was a good call, though. Nothing goofy about it by him. Good job.
Wow, that's a great ad. Stoli Vodka.
So after, if the Yankees win games in this series, we're going to play that after every time. I want to hear that every game. We're going to raise our Stoli glasses for the Yankees.
Big glass of vodka.
You know what? You know what sounds good right now?
A large sports hub to sell an ad after all of our games, whether it be Bruins, Celtics, Patriots. You know, you guys do amazing player at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I think we have space there for Soci to talk about raising a tall glass of, you know,
put the vodka in your Han and raise your Han.
You know,
let's raise a glass with Stoli Vodka and toast the Yankees on this win.
As I've been telling you, you could be the MVP your tailgate with Crown Royal. I think that Soci should have a, you know, glass of Crown Royal ready to go at the end of the game.
But it has to be an equally inappropriate amount. And that's another Patriots win tonight. Time to pour yourself a tumbler of Crown Royal whiskey.
Have the ice just clang in the glass. You throw it in.
How about a nice mug of whiskey to celebrate that win?
I'd stick around with Soci to wrap up the game a little more before we throw it to you guys.
No, of course you would.
Cheers to you, Bob. No, I defer to you. You first. Here, you pour you first. No, I must. I do digress.
If you're hanging on the line, stay put. We'll get your calls right after these headlines with Hardy.
Whatever drives you, make it loud and clear.
Sports Hub headlines.
But whatever you do, don't drive. All right, so the Bruins lost last night, big time. 7-0, the final. Patrice Bergeron after the game. Not much good to say about that game.
I think it's pretty obvious. You know, you guys have seen the game. We've seen the game. So I think it's bottom line. It's, you know, there's not many good things that we've done tonight. And we've got to be a lot better. I think it starts with winning puck battles for sure and winning, moving our feet.
See if they can do that tonight as they are right back at it with a game against the Sabres in Buffalo. The game will be heard on Alt-92.9. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers on the call because the Patriots will be on 98.5, the Sports Hub, Thursday Night Football against the Indianapolis Colts. Adam Schefter, the first to report that Rob Gronkowski is expected to play despite his questionable status and the ankle injury he suffered in the win over Miami on Sunday. As we were just hearing from John Sterling, the Yankees were 7-2 winners last night over the A's. So it'll be Red Sox-Yankees game one of the ALDS starts tomorrow, Fenway Park. Headlines are brought to you by your New England Honda dealers. Visit HondaDealersOfNewEngland.com for great offers around here. We Honda. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Let's go right back to your phones, as promised. John's in Vegas today on the Patriots. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Love hearing you guys talk football, during the past season. So two quick questions, then I'll hang up and listen. So one, philosophically, how do you feel, maybe not about Sony Michel in particular, but about spending first-round draft capital on a running back in today's NFL? And my second question, how do you feel philosophically about Sarge still being employed by the station? Thanks, guys.
Oh, wow. Wow. It was too rehearsed. The question was too good.
Oh, man. 2 days in a row, though, he got us on the Sarge questions. Philosophically, how do I feel about Sarge still being employed by the station? I'll pick that one first, if you'd like.
Okay.
I have no issue with it whatsoever.
I don't either. I think Sarge works hard. He does a great job at his headlines. He accentuates words. He's a good guy, bottom line.
He can be a real good guy. He can be a real goofy SOB, but...
Well, who can't?
He's a good guy.
Yeah, good guy.
He's a good guy.
As far as paying rookie running back, I mean, it's slotted anyway. This isn't, you know, this isn't the old NFL where this guy holds out or that one holds out for this amount of money, and just because you're running back, you're making that much more. The whole rookie draft class is slotted. You know, so I just, you know, and then you have control over the guy for 5 years. So why not? Why not? If he's going to be good, if he can do what he did last week and do that consistently, hey, we got something here.
I just get a little bit tired of the whole first round draft pick. It only gets stated like that when you're talking about someone that you're not thrilled with. Every other time you're talking about the Patriots and their first round draft pick, it's like, well, it's essentially a second rounder. You know, the only players that really matter in the NFL draft are in the first 15, maybe
31 or 32.
Yeah, it's like really? he only gets identified as a first round. If you're going to do that with a first round, he's picked 31st overall. It's essentially a second rounder. Now, it's still a high pick. I'll grant you that. And just calm down on the whole first rounder for Sony Michel. Enough. It has more to do with the money than it does anything else, and I understand that. But I just don't see it as like as big an expenditure had it been, you know, somewhere near the even in the top half of the first round.
Well, so they're coming out with all blue uniforms tonight, right?
Yeah,
blue pants. Blue
color rush is on for tonight.
Mm.
Frank is in Mendon. Frankie.
Hey, how you guys?
Hi, Frank.
My question is, I'm a huge Adam Vinatieri fan, and I know, Scott, you crossed paths with him a couple years there.
Yep.
I was wondering, do you have a great story, like a good rookie story about Adam or anything that you could share?
Yes, and as you know, as a player, you get a chance to endorse certain things. Some guys will have cars, some guys will have motorcycles, maybe skis, clothing, shoes, right? Nike, Reebok. I was Reebok at the time. So Adam came in, walked in the locker room one time, and I think he's from one of the Dakotas. I think it's South Dakota, right? Or one of them. Not sure.
Yep.
South Dakota. Kind of a, you know, East bum, you know what. And comes strolling in, and he's got these wraparound gargoyles on, and he's decked out in FUBU clothing. And, of course, all us honkies down the one end of the locker room are looking at him and saying, that's a nice outfit. And he's, went down Washington Street. Across from, I think it was Filene's at the time.
downtown.
And he went down, he said, sweet store right on the corner. Just, I like the colors and that. And you know, we had the Coogee sweaters. Remember those old sweaters with all different crazy colors that were really expensive? Adam just had all this FUBU gear. We just chuckled at him and didn't say anything to him for a couple of days. And I'll say it to him tonight when I see him. I said, do you wear any FUBU gear on the bus on the way over or anything? He goes, what do you mean, man? What are you talking about that? I'm like, well, you know, it's for us, by us. He's like, yeah, what's that mean? It's the brothers down there, they got their own clothing line. They like it, you know. And down to get the DBs down there wearing the FUBU stuff. So here's our white kicker from South Dakota wearing the FUBU gear. He didn't wear it too much after that, so we kind of made fun of him. But he was just he always wanted to work out with the linebackers too. He's not your average kicker. Like we had Matt Barr, who was a goofball. He had that shag hair, and he and DeAssi would always sit up on upside down, 5 gallon buckets, and be reading books during practice. And he had a Matt Barr always brought a chipping wedge out with a couple golf balls. He tried to chip the balls into the bucket. And Adam was more of like your everyday type player kicker.
Like he would lift weights the same way a linebacker.
See, Gostkowski's the same way too.
I think Belichick,
good athlete. Yeah,
spoken about.
Yeah.
And have you seen what his side business is now?
No,
Adam.
No.
So he bought a ranch.
Did he?
It's called Record Breaking Ranch. If you want to see it on Twitter, it's @VinatieriRBR, @VinatieriRBR for Record Breaking Ranch. It's as their Twitter account says, it's recognized as one of the premier white-tailed deer hunting destinations found anywhere in the country.
You go to kill deer. Nice.
It's in Fulton, Missouri. I'm going to show you a couple pictures and get your reaction to it. So the size of some of these deer that have been hunted
dead
on his ranch.
Look at that one. Wow. How many points are on that sucker? 12?
I mean,
Jesus.
It's.
Look at these bucks.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
You got there to hunt. Put some camo on. Bet Matt Lake.
A lot of hunting going on there.
I told you the Matt Lake
story. Look at this one. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Yes.
This is like big game hunting.
Yeah, that's
like
with elk. A bow. That's bow that and arrow hunting right there.
That's right up Matt Light's avenue. I went down. I was coming home when I was selling the red seats one day, and Light was down in Rentham, the old country store, and he had camos on. His pickup truck was there with the oversized tires, and there were two turkeys handcuffed to this gun rack in the back.
Told me that.
Both were headless. I'm like, where's the heads go? So I blew him off with the bow and arrow. This woman starts screaming. She called the cops, and I had to wait here for the cops to talk to him. So
that happened not that long ago.
No, not that long.
I remember him telling.
No,
us that
I wasn't
story.
Selling the red seats. No, that wasn't. That was, this was after he was done.
Yeah, because he's running through a backyard. Someone called the cop. Like, there's some crazy hunter in my backyard.
And he's got
a bow and arrow. He was out there hunting turkey.
He doesn't shoot it. And
rent them.
Shoot it through the head.
He doesn't want to destroy the meat.
Right. That's what he said.
That's what he said. He's taking home to eat.
Yeah. Then you got to disinfect the damn thing and all that. Yeah.
Kevin's in Douglas. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. What's happening, Zoe? Hey, I see you more Hardy as a gray goose guy because he's a golfer.
I don't think Hardy's that anymore.
No.
I don't think Hardy dabbles at the I'll be a gray goose guy.
Okay. Yeah, Zoe can be a gray goose guy.
Love listening to you guys. Listen, I'm out in Central Mass, but I got to ask you. Didn't it seem like when Willie McGinnis, when he left, it was kind of contentious and between the Patriots and the longtime fans were like, well, you know, if they can let go of Willie McGinnis, I think it was 2006 and he had two more years with Cleveland. My point is Kraft, I think Kraft got involved in this thing between, and I'm not going to go into that with Belichick.
I'll tell you, it's real simple. Right. And this is who's untouchable? All these coaches learned from Bill Parcells. When Bill Parcells first came here, he brought guys like Will Roberts, Myron Guyton, Bob Cratch. He brings his kind of guys in so he could help teach the locker room culture. Romeo Crennel became the head coach at at Cleveland. And he, I don't say overpaid, but he gave Willie a lot of money to come in at the end. When Willie was starting to get nicked up a little bit, the body starts to break down, the mileage is there. The Patriots just couldn't go that distance with him. And that's – he jumped ship and went to Cleveland in free agency. So it wasn't like, yeah, you cut Willie. You said, we don't want Willie anymore. Seymour's was more of a – that was going to head towards a contract holdout. I would say that one was more – way more contentious than Willie. It was sad to see Willie go and, you know, finish in Cleveland. But, hey, he went there and made some more money and helped him with some of his other endeavors. And Willie's got a couple companies. He's got a record deal company and some other stuff. He's got his hands in some stuff out there.
He's got
out in L.A.
He's got a record company?
He's a small time
Snoop?
A production company.
Is it with Snoop?
I don't think it's with Snoop. Oh. Like Willie Mac Productions or something. I forget the name of it.
Snoop's his cousin.
Snoop Loop. Yeah, Snoop's got his own, man.
So you forgot. You mentioned this off the air. You forgot to ask him if Snoop is going to be in this thing.
Damn it. Probably
not. Don't be surprised if he is, though.
Right.
Right?
They probably throw it in there. I guarantee if it's NFL films, they probably grab some video of Snoop playing a post-game party. You know,
something fun like that.
Yeah, something fun, real snippet. Tell us about your cousin real quick, Snoop.
Real quick.
Today's
takeaways are coming your way right after this.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, it's time for today's takeaways. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight in life. It's the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox.
Okay, let's get to the takeaways. By the way, pregame coverage coming up at 5:30 from Splitsville at Patriot Place. That means Felger and Maz have a short show by a half hour today, and Maz doesn't have to do baseball reporters, so you boys are welcome.
Okay, that's even better. Wow.
I'll be back with you at 5:30.
Nice.
This is 4 hours down out of the 14 that I will do between today and tomorrow.
Oh, you're a warrior.
Get 10.
A warrior.
10 more hours on air over the next 24 hours or so. Yeah. All right, then. Let's get to these calls. A couple of them back-to-back. Mm-hmm.
Really good calls today.
Incredible back-to-back. We had great call volume today, by the way. Thank you to everyone. Yeah. We had a lot of good calls on the
action-packed
show.
Action-packed
day. But then we have some that sort of go in a direction that we didn't expect them to. Like, did you know that November 18th is the best day for the Patriots to play the Colts? I bet you didn't know that day started.
Didn't think about that today.
I just have a little coincidence about our history with the Colts. Tonight's going to be the 81st time we've played them between their being in Baltimore and Indianapolis. And during the 80 games we've already played, three times we've scored 50 or more points. Every time was on November 18th. And those are the only three times we've played them in November 18th.
Today's October 4th, so what the hell does that have to do with tonight?
Because they should only play the Colts on November 18th.
Do you have a flux capacitor?
numbers.
Oh, man. Oh, I was rude. I sound so rude. When I heard that again. When I hear myself back, I know how much of an ass I sound like.
You know that sound? You know who that sounds like after I hear that again?
What the hell does it have to do with tonight?
That goofball Blair in Maine tweaking his voice.
Ooh.
That's who that sounded like a little bit. Like.
No.
If Blair tweaked his voice.
No, that was a coherent thought, even though.
November 18th.
Albeit meaningless.
Do you have a flux capacitor?
Still coherent is what it is. Wow. I'm like, all right. Well, today's the 4th of October. What the hell's that up to?
Jesus.
By the way, the Colts leaving Baltimore made an appearance in Kraftwerk last week.
Jim and Jim have been working their ass off digging
in the archives back there.
Nice job, boys.
For a little Baltimore Colts leaving in the middle of the night.
What do we got tonight?
Did you catch that part? Do you know what was said there? That because the Colts had left in the middle of the night in Baltimore, and the Patriots wanted to make sure that they kept the team in New England when they didn't own it yet, that they were going to go to court and get an injunction if the team tried to leave. Right? That's when Orthwine owned the team.
Yeah.
So they had to obviously take some measures to make sure they would have an alert system set up if the team tried to leave in the middle of the night, which required someone to be watching the team 24 hours a day to make sure they weren't leaving in the middle of the night.
Jesus. That's pretty good.
Imagine that.
No. Like
some guy out in the woods here in Foxborough sitting on the train tracks.
Looking single through the binoculars.
Yeah. Like, how many nights did they spend looking through those things?
Nope. Just some jackass in a Corvette with sunglasses on. I don't know what he's doing.
That's the second Corvette he's got. He's got like two different Corvettes he drives here. I'm like, you're damn right I do.
Why is he speeding up and down the highway, back and forth?
And that sucker up to $138.
They had to keep an eye on things and make sure nobody was trying to leave.
We used to race to Bryant, right down 295.
Like, there had to have been times when whoever that was, like, got nervous, like, when the truck pulled in. Like, just any truck. Like,
why is that 18-wheeler?
Is this it? Is this the moment they leave?
Peel the side off those big Paul Arpin.
I was going to say, the big Paul Arpin trucks that used to be out in the back.
Oh, God.
I think there might be one of those still out there.
Probably.
Paul Arpin trucks. Oh, man. All right, that's one call. This was the very next call after that call today, Zoe. You ready for this?
Ready.
Here.
Yes, how you doing?
Yes.
Tonight and next week, you got two kids from Everett coming in.
Ooh.
One, Dave Bergonzi, the linebacker coach of the Indianapolis Colts. He was with Tampa Bay last year in the assistant role. And next week, Mike Bergonzi, who was the director of player personnel, put together a pretty good team in Kansas City. He worked with that whatever the guy who's in Cleveland now, who's running Cleveland. John Dorsey, right. So he moved up. He's in, like, the Nick Casario role. So two kids from Everett that did pretty good.
What would you like
better
me to
than
do
Paul Perello. One.
Okay, bye, Jim.
And that was like Tom Bergonzi there calling in.
They had a Ken and Lowell sort of flair to him. At least he didn't say I would rather hear that than
What's the Paul Perello connection? Is he from Everett?
Paul Perello's also an Everett guy.
Dave Bergonzi.
And Mike Bergonzi.
Mike Bergonzi.
The Bergonzi bros.
Dave and Mike. And my son, Bob.
Dave Bergonzi. Mike Bergonzi.
I wonder if Perillo knows those two.
I don't know. I'll bring it up tonight. That'll help me kill 30 seconds.
There you go. There's 4 minutes.
30 seconds of the 2 hours with barely any breaks.
Jesus.
A couple of times for 3 minutes. It's fine.
Enjoy yourself, Hardy.
Thank you.
All right. Hardy, did you have anything you wanted to add today?
Or no. We were going with both those two calls. We had some good ones today. I as much as I like the day after calls, game day calls, which we don't get to do too often. Every once in a while on a Monday, this Thursday night game we get to do, but normally we are relegated to the day after calls. So it was nice to get some day of game calls here today because there were a couple of humdingers. You always get the Lorraine. Lorraine is a day of, or
she had a little pep in her step because the squirrel's back.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh
Julian
yeah.
Julian Edelman, pep in his step. He's ready to go.
She's pulling nachos out tonight.
Very excited. I think
that Tostitos medium.
I was going to say, well, you know what?
Thank you to Lorraine.
Paulie, shout out to Lorraine. Paulie with a good call today, by the way. One of his best calls in a while. Hit a lot of different topics. Very focused.
Put some effort into it. Yeah.
Put a lot of effort into that today. I say Pats win tonight. We all pour ourselves a tall glass of vodka.
That's right. Holy vodka. Raise your glass. Sosie.
I don't know about you guys, but that's what I'll be doing. Tall right. glass of vodka.
You're going to need one. Me and Murray. You're going to need one about 1 a.m.
Me and Murray are going to start drinking.
After the win, gulp down a large glass of vodka. That's how we celebrate.
6 ounces of gasoline.
Belger and Maz are coming up. I'll talk to you again at 5:30 for Pat's Preview.
Good job, Peter. See you then.
Whatever drives you, make it loud and clear.